Let us pray. Father, we thank you we can gather in your presence. We pray that you open our eyes, open our ears, so we can hear you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Two or three weeks ago, I have a chance to go to a Japanese restaurant. I got a coupon from family friends. It's a 9-course dinner, Japanese restaurant. You know, they make the food really nice. The presentation is good. So we enjoy the whole dinner, starting from the entree, the mains, there are a few, and then we are waiting for the dessert and the drinks. Oh, everything is wonderful. We enjoy every part of the dinner. Very satisfied. When you come to the Sunday meeting, do you find such satisfaction when we gathered? Do you know each part of the message in the meeting has a meaning, prepared for a purpose? You may just come from Sunday school, sitting here, wondering, what are you guys doing here? Eh? Is it just sitting here listening to someone share? Is it just like a lecture theater? Coming in Sunday morning, still tired, and listening to some, you may find it boring, or some people may find it interesting sermon. After listening, and then, okay, my job is done, finished, and then I go home. Is it the Sunday meeting you are thinking of? What is happening when you come to this meeting? When you're sitting here, what is your expectation? When I go into the Japanese restaurant, I expect something nice. When I come into this meeting, I expect something in my heart. How about you? What do you expect? What do we do here? Are we chatting? Are we social group? Country club? Talking about games, talking about friends, you're trying to find yourself, right? Don't worry. What do we do here? Actually, when we gathered here, something is going on. Construction work in progress. That is, when we gathered here, it's not just we are sitting here. Someone is doing something. Construction is going on. You should be different. Before the meeting and after the meeting, we all should be different. What happens here? Why are we meeting here? So whenever we meet, something is going on. In the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, when you say construction, what sort of construction are we building? We can't see anything changing here. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are not just visitors sitting here, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are the household of God. In other words, this is the God's family. You are coming into a family gathering. And what's going to happen? We are having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, having been built on the foundation. God is building us on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And what is going to happen? In whom the whole building being fitted together grows. Notice the word. Just now we are talking about building, but now this building can grow. Isn't that amazing? Grows into a holy temple in which, in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So my dear young friends from Sunday school,
You are here because God is building you. Ivana, Dora, Titus, why you are here? God is building you. God is doing something in your life. We all grow together into a holy temple, built together for a dwelling place of God, as if God has nowhere to stay, as if He wants to find a place, a home, and we become His dwelling place. So when you are sitting here, you are not just listening to someone, but actually God is doing something in your life. Each one, listen, God is speaking to you, trying to change you a bit, grows into a holy temple. It's not one-step process, it's a continuous growing process. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers." Paul is saying, we are all workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So the saints are the field. When we think of the field means they are life growing. So we can see everyone maybe talking, saying, but in God's eye, He sees all the plants, all the weeds are growing up, changing. And the building. So we have two roles. We are God's building. We are God's building. But who is the worker? Paul says, we are God's fellow worker, including you and me. So you come here, you come to the construction site as not a spectator. You are the part of this great work. You are the worker in God's building site. Not only you are building, but you are also being built. Other people building you up, and you have a role to build up others as well. So God is doing something. Even though we are sitting here listening, but inwardly, the Holy Spirit is trying to do something, changing you to be more like Christ. Feel growing. Not physical, not outwardly, not mentally, but spiritually, to be more like Christ. We are God's building. And how did it grow? Is it I just sit here and listen, then I'll grow? Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, 16, from whom the whole body, the whole church, all the saints, you and me, join and knit together. Knit together. If you know knitting, I don't know, but I know the threads go and I don't know how to intertwine. I don't know. Stick together. You can't just pick up one thread because it knitted together. The clothing is not all threads, but knitted together. So when you come here, God is putting you knitted together. Not just to one, I can see even knitted to Lyndon. But you need to knit it to more people to build up connection. Our life knitted together. So you are not just coming like watching a movie and then after the movie you just go. Have you knitted to anyone? Are you connected to anyone? Have you opened your life and shared with the brothers and sisters, maybe sitting next to you? Or you are just a lone ranger coming in and going after a whole year, nobody knows you. Every time people ask you, what's your name? Are you a newcomer? No. And how does it grow? It says every joint supplies. Every joint. Where are you? Which joint are you? According to the effective working by which every part does its share. What is your share?
Someone play the piano. Someone play this cajon. Someone maybe violin, guitar. Someone song leading. Someone stand there to share words of encouragement. Someone prepare the morning tea. Someone care, talk to you. Every part does its share. Have you done your share? When you come to the building site and you just sit around pointing to people, oh, he's no good. Ah, he's not doing it right. Oh, they are no good. They are no good. And you are doing nothing. When you come to the building site, everyone matters. No one should be idle. No one should be sitting around doing nothing, pointing your fingers to others, telling others you are doing no good. Every joint supplies. Every. Including you, Susan. Including you, where's Daniel? Oh. Everyone supplies. When you belong to God, everyone, God has given you gift. You supply, you supply, you supply, so that others can grow. That's why I asked Mei Ling to come forward. She supplies. She shared her life, her experience, her heart towards you. She supplies. And we find encouragement. But not just Mei Ling. Maybe you next week. Every joint does its share. Have you done your share? So you are not just come here as a spectator or an audience. You come to play your part, to build, so that God can dwell among us. This is the house of God, the family of God. How nice. So you are not just sitting here, wasting your time, but you have a very good purpose. I don't know how you go to school. I don't know how you sit in the class. But this is very different because God is doing something right among us every time as we gather. So, what do we do as we gather? When we say God is building us up, when we God say every members, every joint supplies or plays its part, what does it mean? What do we do? When we look at Acts of the Apostles, when the people became Christian at that time, when they gathered, what do they do? In Acts chapter 1, verse 41, then those who gladly received his words were baptized, baptism, showing that they are willing to accept Christ as their Savior. If you are not baptized, listen. If you baptize, there's only one thing you want to tell others. I want to follow Jesus. He is my Savior. I want to follow him. Not because you are perfect, but because you show your will to follow him. You baptize, turn away from the world, but to follow Christ. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly four things: apostles' doctrine. Or in another place it says Jesus, apostles don't have their own doctrine, it's about Jesus' teaching. So they learn about what Christ showing them. The second thing is they have fellowship. The third thing is they have breaking of bread. And the fourth thing is in prayer. So we think about all this four as we gathered. What do we do? Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. So this is maybe, you can say the full course. Just like I mentioned, 9-course meal. So when you come to the meeting, are you just listening to the message? Do you have fellowship with the saints? Have you joined in the breaking of bread to remember the Lord and the prayer? So let's talk about teaching. Why is teaching so important? In Acts, it says, so in Acts 20, Paul was saying to the elders in Ephesus, he talked to the elders, so now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Now we see the word of God is not just knowledge. The word of God is living. So the learning God's word, learning the Bible, learning Christ, can transform our life, build us up to be more like him. So the word can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So, good, you come from the Sunday school, now you sit here, and now you can learn Christ's teaching. Uncle Neil shared about the Gospel of John. Now we can know about you. Through Gospel of John, we can know about Christ himself. And that will change our life. Also, in 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That means you don't know you have done something wrong, God's words will tell you, reproof. This is wrong. Stop it. Your life is going away, turning to sin. Stop it. You are doing things God doesn't want you to do. Stop it. Turn. Repent. So God's word, reproof. Instead of building us up, something you must clean the rubbish away before you build up something, isn't it? You can't build up a house if there are rubbish on the ground. You have to clear the rubbish away. So reproof is moving the rubbish out of your life. And then God can start building something in your life. For reproof, for correction. You are thinking, I should do this. Oh, wrong. That's wrong. Come back this way. So with God's words, our growth cannot go to the wrong direction. For correction, for instruction. How can I do this better? How can I serve God? How can I do this and serve him? How can I follow him? For instruction. So God's word teaching us is profitable, that the man of God may be complete. So not for your knowledge, but the man of God should be knowledgeable. No, be complete. Your life can be complete. Do you think your life is complete? Are you still bonded? Captive by sin? Are you obsessed with something? Have you been set free? Are you still a slave of your anger, bad temper, bad habits? Are you complete in him? God's word is telling us, sharing, teaching us, sharing us. So when we complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So right now you may not be able to do many things because your life has not been changed. But because of God's work, doing work in your life, reprove you, correct you, instruct you, and you continue to grow, then you will be able, equipped for every good work. You want to serve God, but you don't have the tools. You don't have the courage. You don't have the passion. You don't have the gifts or skill. God's word will equip you for every good work. So imagine a worker come to the construction site. I need a hammer. No hammer. I need a drill. No drill. Or you can just stand there. Can you use your hand to lift heavy things? No. So we need the skill. We need to learn. We need to grow so that we'll be equipped for every good work. So that's about the teaching we need. Breaking of bread, I took this picture last week. For the young one coming from Sunday school, why do we have that? Do you know, Susan? What does the bread mean? No? Ivana? No? Dora? No? I should have told you before the breaking of bread. Okay. So, why do we break bread? For in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So that bread speaks of the body of Christ. Break the bread and eat the bread means he gave himself, he gave his life to me. Not only I received the bread, he received the bread, she received the bread. We all received the same bread. We all belong to Christ. His life is in me. His life is in you. His life is in him. We become one body in Christ. And then, the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "Why do people use a little spoon to get the grape juice? What does that imply?" Oh, the cup is the new covenant. God, Jesus is making a new covenant to the disciples. "In my blood, this do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." With the shedding of blood, blood and the body separates means death. If you kill the animal, all the blood comes up. The blood and the body separates means death. So blood and the body means his death in front of us. So we remember how he sacrificed. He died. He paid the price for my sin. So when we gathered, we eat this bread, drink this cup, we remember our Savior who sacrificed himself to deliver us from sin. So with a thankful heart, we give thanks and praise him. That's why we are doing what we are doing at 10 o'clock to 10:20. That's what we are doing. For those who are believers, we follow his command and to remember him. Oh, it's so, we need to remember him. How can I forget you? You know, in the Anzac Day, is it not Anzac Day? Yes, Anzac Day. Lest we forget. Lest we forget all those people who sacrificed their life for us. Lest we forget how Christ died for us on the cross. So we come with a solemn attitude. This is significant. My Savior, he died for me. The love that is shown. Again, as if a picture come before me, dying on the cross. He rose from the dead. What a glorious Savior we have. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Yes, we are doing this today. But he promised he will come again. So with a hope in our heart, we want to meet him. So the more we take it, our hearts will be turned. Get ready our lives to meet him. How about the fellowship? How do we have fellowship? Is it just sharing something what you experienced recently? In Ephesians, it taught us how to start the fellowship by speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms. We want to practice this following the Bible. That's why I invite some young people coming out speaking to us in spiritual songs. What the song is about. How great is our God. Proclaiming Him. This is fellowship. To one another. And then making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So the music team helping us, but we are making melody in our hearts. So it's not just the music, but in my heart. The music helps me to pour out my soul in my heart to the Lord. And the Lord listens. So when we come to the breaking of bread, when we have fellowship, pour out yourself to the Lord, singing to the Lord. Similar words in Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It's good that Mei Ling share a few verses from God's word. Richly in wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, one another, fellowship, to the Lord at the same time. And when we share, you are not just sharing your experiences or your pain, but when you share something, let me remind you, is to for edification, for building others up. So that's why we say not just sharing, but words of encouragement. So if you come up to share, you are not just sharing your problem and make everybody sad or feel a burden in their hearts as well. When you are sharing, you are trying to encourage, to build others up. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue. So when you come, normally on the fifth Sunday, we have some sharing meeting, isn't it? Everybody come forward. I invite the young people to come forward and share. It may be your experience, it may be a psalm you have learned, it may be a teaching or a revelation. You see something and then has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So when you come here, not just, oh, you have lots of grievances and you pour out your grievances, poisoning everybody. No. You want to share God's love. You want to share His grace. You want everyone to give thanks to God. Share something from your life that encourage one another. This is fellowship. So this is not a garbage. You don't dump all the garbage here. No, we are sharing good things here. Okay, as we have fellowship. Prayer. Every Sunday morning, when we gather 9:50, that corner, we have prayer. Why is prayer important? Remember, 9-course meal I talk about. This is part of the course, prayer. Before the meeting, you can pray. During the meeting, you can pray in your heart for the speaker. After the meeting, you can pray to God about what you hear. And you can talk to the other people, knowing their faith, what they experience. You want to pray for them. Feel free to pray. There should be prayer among us. This should be a house of prayer. Let this all continue with accord in one accord and supplication. So the Bible talks about prayer, always emphasis with one accord. How can we have different thinking? How can we pray in one accord? We are in tune with the Holy Spirit. You know, everyone sing their song, we may be out of tune. You sing in different key. You sing in C, you sing in the song in D or F major, I don't know, major, minor, something like that. We are out of tune. But when there's someone conducting us, we can all sing in the same tune. Okay? So the Holy Spirit can guide us to pray according to God's will. And in Ephesians, it talks about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this, and end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So the prayer is not just for yourself. We can also pray for other people as well. And for me, the utterance may be given to me. So Paul was asking people to pray for Paul. So the Holy Spirit will give him the utterance, how to speak, that he may open my mouth boldly, make known to the mystery of the gospel. So just before the meeting, 30 minutes ago maybe, the other brothers and sisters also pray for me. Pray that I have the utterance to share God's words, for which I'm an ambassador in the chains, that in it I may be speak boldly. So I can speak boldly. We pray for Mei Ling just now, so she can speak boldly. So you see, we are important. So all these young people, when we gather together at that corner, we are doing our work. We are on duty. We start our work at 9:50 there. So be on time. Come to work on time. Okay, this is our responsibility. We are God's workers. Pray for the one who is speaking, that he may speak boldly. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul is asking for prayer, so that the Holy Spirit may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So we pray for, you are sitting here, we pray for you just now. We pray for you, so that you can understand. You have the wisdom and revelation. Suddenly you, now I see what he's talking about. Revelation. We pray for you, so that you can hear, knowing that God is working in your life. Knowing that God has a purpose. Knowing that God wants to build a dwelling place. Knowing that everyone who comes has their part to play. We need prayer. That's asking God to do his work among us. We are ready, God, do something. Do something among us. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. This prayer is not just one time, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Knowing spiritual truth is not using our natural IQ. It's spiritual understanding, filled with the knowledge of his will. Do you know his will? Do you know why he created you? Do you know why he brought you here? Do you know his work in your life is to give you Christ, and that Christ can grow in you? Do you know that? Do you have the knowledge of his will? Do you know that? Do you have this understanding God is doing in your life? In Colossians, it's talked about continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. Open the door. Our prayer is just knocking, asking God to open the door for his work to come through. So you see, prayer is important. You come here to listen? Nah, not enough. You come here to pray? You should. We should. We are workers. Use our prayer to ask God to open the door. the 9-course dinner, I'm not just having the dessert and then I go. The full course, entree, main. When you come to the meeting, do you just enjoy the teaching part? Or even not enjoying the teaching at all? Do you pray? Do you have fellowship? Do you sing to the Lord? Now this part is normally we do it like this, 9:50 and 10. So for many of you, you may think the meeting starts at 10, indeed, but the prayer starts at 9:50 over there. So if you come early, go there and pray. Right now the group is getting bigger. We may split in two in the future. But this is how we work. Without prayer, God cannot bless us if the door is closed. So we kneel down before God as if knocking door. Lord, bless us. Speak to us. Prepare us. So we are working there. Work starts at there at 9:50. But second course, if you come for the breaking of bread, you are not just eating the bread, drinking the cup. Your part is to offer your praise to Him. He has done something for you. You feel grateful, you praise Him. You sing to Him. You offer your prayer. You worship Him. We worship Him together. So this is how you enjoy the second course. Not just sitting here. Inwardly, your mind turns to Him. Your heart's open to Him. You use speaking to one another in psalms and spiritual songs. You encourage others to praise Him. Sharing meeting. We start to have some sharing time in this coming year, I hope. So we give opportunity. Because it's not good for just when you come to the meeting, always one people, you can only hear one voice. No, that's no good. This is a family. So we want everyone can have a chance to encourage each other. So today, Mei Ling, thank you. But we want more to come. And then the message. And then during the message, you have to be careful because God is speaking to you. He used His words to build you up. He used His words to reprove you, correct you, instruct you, shaping your life in the right direction so you can grow into maturity. You can grow in holiness and walk with Him. We should play our part here. Best pay attention because you are not listening to man. In your heart, you turn to God. Fellowship. After the meeting, connect, talk to some new people. Know them. Appreciate what God, know them. Appreciate what God has done in their life. Love them. Care about them. If that people know that they have come here not just listening, but someone cared. So it would be so different. There's warmth in the meeting. Because this is a family. This is not a school. This is a God's family. This is a dwelling place for God. God wants a dwelling place. God wants a body. Not a theater. Not a lecture hall, not a country club, but we have fellowship, encouraging one another in Christ. You love, you care, you show your kindness to one another. It would be different here. People come in here, not just for the teaching. They feel they are treasured. They feel they are loved. And everyone can be this a channel for God's love. You don't have to have a lot of knowledge of the Bible, but you can care for young people, new people. Show kindness, warmth. Talk to them. You can pray with them. After the meeting, you can pray as well. So today after the meeting, I'll give you 1 minute to pray. Pray to God. What you have heard, respond to Him. Lord, thank you for telling me this. Help me to grow. Help me to become. Help us to become your dwelling place. Talk to Him. Tell Him. When someone speaks to you, you respond. When God speaks to you, you respond. Prayer is important. We should have more of that after the message. And then morning tea time. It's not just chat, but through sharing, we show our care and love, and we can serve one another and share our lives. So this is the full course meal. On the fifth Sunday, we even have lunch together. The last Sunday at March. Okay, we even have lunch together. So we have, this is family life. Okay, when you go home, you don't just sit, eat, and go back to your room. This is not family life. Family life is a lot of interaction. You care about mom, how's your day? Dad, how's your work? I'm so happy when my daughter came home. Dad, how's your day? Oh, used to. I asked him, hi, how's school today? Good. But now, the other way around. My daughter asked me, how's work? How's your day? Then I can have some conversation with my daughter. She cares about my day. What did you do? Love, cares, interact. So may God help us. May God change us, turn us into a family, a dwelling place for Him. Is this your desire? I give you 1 minute to pray before God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you we can gather every Sunday before you. But we pray that we know why we are here. We know that you are doing works among us. Because we are God's field. You want life to grow in us. We are God's building. You want to dwell among us. Teach us, Lord, in the coming days, how we can live, how we can serve, how we can function as the member in your family. Let this place not be not just a meeting place, but a place where you can dwell among us, where we can find love, we can find your care, we can hear your words, where we can know you more and more. Change our life, Lord. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.